Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And you're welcome to edit me out of everything if I'm not making enough sense.
If I edited you out of everything when you made no sense, there'd be zero podcast.
I should be recording this so that I can play it later and prove that you've caused emotional distress.
Hello and welcome to episode 230 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with... I almost spoke over the cat there.
Is it getting more elaborate each time, or is that the same as the last time
no,
I was here?
That was the same as the last time you were here.
I will be the same amount of scowling then. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. It's actually sunny today, which is nice. And I've had at least 3 hours sleep, which is awesome.
Okay, this is going to be interesting.
Yay, insomnia.
So apart from lack of sleep, what have you been doing? Have you been spending your awake time watching TV?
Some of it, having caught up with The Expanse and finished Killjoys and also finished watching The Boys as well.
Cool.
I thought I'd go even darker and move on to season two of Happy.
Right.
Based on the Grant Morrison comic of the same name. Very dark, very twisted, fun if you like crazy and quite violent. And now sort of ruined my hopes for watching more of it next year by you, in fact, turning up in my Twitch stream last night and telling me they've cancelled it.
Yes. Yes, unfortunately it has been cancelled after two seasons because Sci-Fi can't make a deal to save their life. Basically they were only making money off it when it aired live, or I think the few days they had it on catch-up afterwards, which is a stupid deal to sign. And it's exactly the same thing that happened with The Expanse.
This is less likely to be rescued than The Expanse. Though.
Yes.
The Expanse has a somewhat more broader mainstream potential audience, and that's a space opera than Happy. I recommend anyone who likes their comic book-based TV, very, very dark and violent, and you won't guess the rest of the plot from it, I'll give it that, to check Happy out. They do at least wrap up all of the primary plot at the end of season two. Season one worked pretty well as a main arc, and then season two continues and finishes all of that arc. There's just a few little bits in the last episode at the end of season two where I really wanted to see what would happen next.
Right.
I can't say anything without giving away spoilers for anyone who hasn't actually watched season two yet, but yeah, there were just a few comments by the imaginary magical flying horse and a cloud and someone else saying, oh, you're like me but different, that just really set me up to think I really, really want to know where the hell they're going to take this next. I'll go back to rereading the comics, I think.
Yeah. I mean, at least you still have the comics. Grant Morrison is still doing that. Is that still a run? Are they still writing those, or is it all done in comic book form as well?
I don't know. I should have Googled that before coming onto the podcast since I knew I'd be talking about Happy. I don't know. I'm a little bit behind on all my reading at the moment. I have a massive stack of books and comics that I haven't actually got around to reading yet. Hopefully with Christmas and winter and after today when the last of the sun is gone, I shan't be leaving the house again for a few months.
Yes.
Give me time to catch up on it all. But yeah, hopefully. A thing with Happy is that you're not quite sure, sort of at the end of each one, you're like, I'm not quite sure what they could do next because this is already so out there.
Yeah.
Where can this possibly go from this point onwards?
Yes.
We shall see. We shall see. I shall certainly read, because I haven't read the comics in years, so I shall certainly reread all of the ones I already have and then see if there's any more.
I've not read the comics, but I did rather enjoy the series. So it was a great shame that that's not coming back. But there's plenty of kind of other TV around at the moment.
Yeah, so. There is more Expanse, and there's going to be more of The Boys as well, isn't there?
Yes, yes. There's a second season of The Boys coming next year. The Expanse drops later this month, 9th, I think. So, and there's another season of The Expanse coming after that. They've already, even before this season comes out, they've already renewed it. So, that's going to be keep going for a little bit yet.
Yeah, well, they're doing the Expanse is one season per book, roughly, so they should do as many seasons as there are books, which would be awesome. What else have I been up to? I played the first episode of Vader Immortal, which is a virtual reality Star Wars game. It is it's a little bit like a very nice tech demo.
Right, yeah, some of those
but they're not that expensive, and the first time Darth Vader walks in a room with you, you are genuinely feeling very, very intimidated.
Right.
I did have the general feels when you're sort of there and he just walks in and you're just sort of like, oh, you feel so small. Have they changed the scale? Was he always that tall? It's quite a good experience. I only played the first one. They're bringing it out in episodes, which I generally don't like as an approach to a computer game release. I don't really like it to be released in episodes personally, but it does let you sort of just play the first one, then see if you want to buy the rest at least. But I think it does add up overall to being quite an expensive way to game. So I probably will play some more of the others. They were pretty good fun, the first one. So we'll see how that goes. What else have I been up to? I went to the Cambridge Centre for Computing History.
Very
the name
good.
Of which I keep getting wrong. It is not called the Computer History Museum. It's called the Centre for Computing History, which is a wonderful, wonderful place. They have so many rare, old, fully working computers, consoles, arcade cabinets, and the staff are incredibly knowledgeable. In fact, the team of volunteers that work there won the quiz, but the team I was involved in came in second place, which I think is quite three or four points behind.
Nice. Well
and,
done.
Obviously, the prize was given to our team. The staff very, very kindly didn't consider their own score to be eligible for winning prizes.
Kind of unfair. Yeah.
They didn't get every question right, though. they still
slightly
got
worrying
wrong.
As well.
Yeah, one of them was one of the rounds you had to identify the computer from a small picture of the keyboard.
It was
identify the enter keys, and afterwards someone turned around on the staff team and said, one of them's behind me. He was sitting near the edge of the room and one of them was actually behind him. But it's great fun. It's all a good laugh. It's all in good fun. It's lots of wordplay and silly rounds and stuff like that. It just costs a little bit of money to enter, and the money all goes to keeping the museum going, which well worth it. Great bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I contributed some answers. I was, however, in a team of absolute legends when it comes to knowing about retro gaming and retro computing history. So people like Kim Justice and Larry Bundy Jr. and Quang from Asobi Tech, famous for owning one of every console almost ever in the world.
Right.
Binary Dinosaur as well, who knows everything about old Ataris and Sinclairs and things, to the point where we kind of were trying to write down some answers to very difficult questions. And one of the questions said, how many microchips is in a one of these? And he went, well, it depends on which version you've got. Many people modded these to have only this RAM chip instead of these two RAM chips. So I was just sitting there going, yes. So our answer was, I think it was 5, unless it's this version, in which case it's 4, but many modern versions had this many. It was like a sentence as the answer. A lot of the other questions were a lot easier, kind of identify the sound effects from the computer games and things like that. Yeah. Yeah, there was a sci-fi movie round as well, which was where I felt I could come into my own a little bit more.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was brilliant fun. Well worth the road trip all the way up from London and back again to go to Cambridge.
Oh, yeah.
What else have I been doing? Playing with my Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition Replicade, which is a mini arcade. It's pretty good. It's got a Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo on there as well, which is pretty nice. Two games in one. And other than that, I've been enjoying owning my first ever Christmas jumper.
Yes, I saw you wearing that on your stream last night. It's awesome. It's Deadpool, isn't it? I think
it's Deadpool and also Deadpool riding unicorns.
Yes,
and snowflakes and chimichangas. It's amazing. I couldn't choose which jumper to get, so I messaged my friend over at Numbskull and said, here are the things I like. I can't choose between your jumpers. There's my money. Give me one of them. And they opted for Deadpool. So,
yes, good choice.
Yeah, the Ghostbusters, where the Ghostbusters logo is Christmas Reef. I thought that was pretty good.
Nice.
And there's a couple of Sonic the Hedgehog ones and a couple of DC Batman ones as well. So it was too difficult for me to choose myself. I had to put the power in somebody else's hands. Option paralysis, that's what it's called, isn't it? Yeah. You can't choose.
Definitely chose well for you, I think.
Yes, I trust their choice. And, you know, Deadpool riding unicorns in a snowy background. You can't really go wrong. I shall be living in that over a lot of the festive period, I think. I've also got a Poundland Bar Humbug goth black Christmas hat as well.
Of course you
I
have.
Think that goes... Of course I have. Exactly. That goes quite well. Other than that, I'm going to be doing some stop motion animation at some point with the new Tubbs Street Fighter 2
Ducks. The Ducks, yes.
Tubbs Ducks. That's my present from Numbskull for Christmas. Yes, Street Fighter Ducks. And that I need to do stop motion animation with them. It has to happen.
Yes, definitely.
It has to happen.
Definitely need to do that. They are awesome, those ducks. They were on your stream last night. So
yeah. We enjoyed those greatly. Just me sort of sitting there, ducking, spinning duck kick. It's just the gift that keeps on giving, really.
Yes, definitely worth doing.
What else have I been up to? Twitch London. I hadn't been to that the last time we spoke, had I?
No, I don't think you had.
It's a big social get-together that's put on. It's all sponsored by Patreons of the group, so they all kind of collectively fund it. And it's just a lovely opportunity for everyone to meet up and get to know each other, network. And it's a free event, so you just request a ticket and head along. It was in central London, under the bridges near Waterloo Station, where all the graffiti is.
Oh, cool.
They hired out a load of rooms there and had DJs and sponsor areas where you could talk to people and chill out areas and so forth. That was really, really, I've never been to one of those before. That was my first time. And I got to meet a lot of other streamers and content creators and people. And it's a really lovely, lovely community. I was really impressed by just how many welcoming, lovely people I met. And then a load of us did the Macarena to Titanium.
Okay.
Which was video and is on Twitter. So
I have to go look that up.
I mean, I'm never going to pretend I didn't do the Macarena because I'm normally the one that starts it. The fact I saw someone else was starting a Macarena to the wrong song was just like, right, I'm there. I think it was about 20 of us or something in the end.
Oh dear.
How about you? No Macarena-ing?
No Macarena-ing for me, no. Bit of TV watching. I mean, pretty much continuing the sort of various things I've been watching, like See the Morning Show, For All Mankind, Watchmen, which is an incredible series, and the last week's episode was just immense, and Walking Dead as well, which is brilliant this season, and that had its mid-season finale and ended in a sort of classic cliffhanger, but not overly cliffhangery, if that makes sense. Position. So it's not like the sort of Negan ending where everybody was like, really, you're gonna end it there. It ends in a good cliffhanger with the heroes in peril, but not sort of too bad. You know, you could sort of they're not like somebody's about to get eaten or anything. So that was really good. And Walking Dead's really, really stepped up its game this last season. It's been really solid, and The Watchmen continues to be one of the most phenomenal TV shows I've watched in a very, very, very long time. Regardless of whether it's a comic book show or a straight drama, I think Watchmen is a fabulous series and deserves all the awards when award season comes around. New shows, I watched Upright, which is the new Tim Minchin series, which essentially is a road trip movie about him taking this upright piano across Australia. It's a drama it's a drama comedy, and he's driving along and has a car accident where he's got the upright piano in the trailer. It's kind of unclear where he's going with it, but he's heading towards Perth. It's a long, long road trip through the Australian outback. The person he crashes his car into is a 16-year-old girl who is incredibly irritating, and it ends up being kind of a buddy road trip movie between Tim Minchin and this 16-year-old girl. So it's a series. I think it's 8 episodes. They're half an hour long each. it's brilliant and wonderfully written. Joss Whedon actually tweeted out, I think, saying it was his favourite TV show since Fleabag. So that's pretty high praise, I would say. It's on Sky One at the moment. It's all on demand as well on Now TV and Sky On Demand, but really worth watching. It's particularly if you like Tim Minchin, but if you just like off-the-wall comedy, it's still worth watching. Movie-wise, I watched The Irishman, which is the Martin Scorsese movie, which you must have seen trailers and stuff for this because it's been advertised. They've been pushing it all over the place. It's on Netflix right now. It's not great, in all honesty. It's 3.5 hours long and you feel every second of those 3.5 hours pretty much.
That's not an endorsement, no.
No, it should be fabulous. It's Martin Scorsese, it's Robert De Niro, it's Al Pacino, it's Joe Pesci, who they pulled out of retirement to do it. It's got Ray Romano in it. It's got Bobby Cannavale in there, Jesse Plemons, a whole bunch of like names. Anna Paquin randomly pops up in there as well in a role which you're kind of looking at going, why is Anna Paquin doing that role? That's really odd because she has about 4 lines in it. The entire thing sort of goes through the history of this man who does what they refer to as paint houses, which is a euphemism for killing people. Robert De Niro is the sort of main character called Frank Sheeran. Al Pacino plays Jimmy Hoffa, and it's really around the sort of disappearance of Jimmy Hoffa is what the entire thing is sort of based on. It's one of those situations where I think Netflix obviously funded quite a lot of it. I think Scorsese went to Netflix and said, I want to make this movie. It's going to have Robert De Niro. It's going to have Al Pacino in it. It's going to have Joe Pesci in it. And I think they just threw a load of money at it and said, go nuts, make it whatever you like. And I think that's where the mistake is. That desperately, desperately needs a decent editor, that film. Because there is a good film in there. I'm fairly sure there is a solid movie in there. It's just, it's very, very meandering. And it just needs tightening up. You know, you could do an edit of that, which is a standard 2 hours, and it would be a much better movie for it, I think. So yeah, it was one of those things that I was sat with a friend watching it, and we kind of stopped it to go and make drinks and stuff, and we're like, oh my God, we're only an hour into this. So yeah, if you're a huge, huge Martin Scorsese fan, then maybe go and watch it, but be aware you will feel every second of that 3.5 hours throughout it. It's difficult to recommend as a sort of film overall, but you know, if you're a completist and you want to see everything Scorsese has done, then it is on Netflix if you want to go and watch it. Another thing that popped up, which was far shorter, I don't know whether you saw this, it was well, what Sky are referring to is a short sort of story, but it is essentially their Christmas advert. They introduced E.T. into their Christmas advert, and it's the first time E.T.'s been on screen in about 37 years. And they got the original actor that played Elliot back together with him. And it's sort of Elliot reuniting with E.T. and his kids. Did you see this? It was
I have not seen this. What a kind of monumental thing to do in a effectively an advert.
Yeah, because I don't usually post stuff about adverts, but this is kind of such a monumental part of your childhood. You're kind of like, well, I really need to say something about this. It's rather sweet, actually. And the fact that they didn't just use E.T. and shamelessly use like some random family, it was the actual actor that played Elliot. They had his kids, and it's sort of them all connecting. And of course, E.T.'s got the thing about phoning home and stuff. So that was sort of the whole thing about, oh, you know, technology's changed since you were last here and that sort of stuff. But it's rather sweet and lovely. It's only a couple of minutes long, but it is floating around on the internet if you want to go and check that out. So that's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Rather than move on to the TV and film news, because of course it is Thanksgiving, or was Thanksgiving last week in the US, so news was rather lacking, we have got something else we do in December, because it is the first week of December now. So we are, of course, are launching this.
The Geektown Awards.
There's my wonderfully over-the-top trailer.
Very, very epic.
So the Geek Town Awards are, of course, back because it is December, and we run this throughout the whole of December. There are huge prizes you can win on the website. And here's me with the prize list. The Geek Town Awards main prize this year includes DVDs of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Avengers Age of Ultron, Thor Ragnarok, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Captain America Civil War, and Captain Marvel. We also have Blu-rays of Avengers Endgame, Shazam, and Spider-Man Far From Home. We have books, comic books, and games, including a Transformers notebook, a Star Wars pop culture art book, Justice League graphic novel, Batman graphic novels, Avengers graphic novels, a Matrix jigsaw puzzle, a Rick and Morty jigsaw puzzle, DC Originals character photo booth, and a Starseekers Awakening trading card game. We have figures and ornaments, including Funko Pops of Preacher's Jesse Custer, South Park's Captain Chaos, and Rick and Morty's Scary Terry. We have Funko Bobbleheads of Walking Dead's Daryl Dixon and Mel Dixon, and Star Wars Boba Fett. We also have a talking Anchorman Ron Burgundy bobblehead. We have vinyl figures of Walter White and Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad. We have a plushy Stormtrooper. We have a Game of Thrones Sansa Stark vinyl figure. Jay and Silent Bob vinyl figures. A Highlander collectible Connor McCloud, and a DC Joker bath duck. There's a host of other geeky stuff as well, including a Trainspotting T2 t-shirt, Batman egg cups, Call of Duty socks and baseball cap, the Cobra Kai soundtrack on CD, Big Bang Theory coasters, Star Wars mugs, Harry Potter posters, a Suicide Squad wallet, a Rock Cat cone gaming mouse, and a stack of other geeky bits and pieces. And finally, we have a Now TV smart stick with a selection of testers for the entertainment, cinema and sports packages, an Amazon Fire 7-inch tablet, and a Google Home smart speaker. And if that all wasn't enough, we also have a runner-up prize, which is a geeky mystery box worth £125. All you have to do is head to geektown.co.uk/awards and get voting.
And a cuddly toy.
And a cuddly toy, yes. The entire prize package worth around £700. We've also got a runners-up prize, which is a special geeky mystery box worth around £125 as well. So there are lots of opportunities to win lots and lots of cool stuff. I'll have to hide the Joker bath duck from you, given that you've got some affinity for ducks at the moment.
The Joker one's good. The Harley one's good as well. It's got a little mallet. The amount of detail on the Joker one is pretty awesome. They've done the whole suit. Who knew ducks look good in suits?
Yes, I know. Ducks look good in everything.
I can't argue with that because it's too much of a random statement.
Yes. Anyway, yes, how can you tell people I haven't got much sleep? So the awards, of course, you can go to the website, which is geektown.co.uk/awards. You can go and enter. All you have to do to enter is go onto there and fill out the questionnaire, which is to select your favorite TV shows from the various lists. And fill out your details and you'll be entered into the prize draw for that competition. So I thought we'd go through some of the categories, seeing as I have you here and we haven't done this with you yet this year. We'll go through the categories and you can tell me what you think the best things are on each category. Have you got the page up in front of you?
I have, and I can see already the first category is one I know nothing about. So this is going to go well.
Yes, yes.
Set up the expectations.
This is going well. So the first category is best new non-sci-fi drama of 2019. Now, there is a list up there which we have various shows on, such as New Amsterdam, Flack, Dead to Me, Morning Show, Capture, and You. I'm guessing you've not seen any of those shows. Is there anything
there's
else?
There's a
bottom
one you can tick that says I haven't seen any of these, which I will have to opt for in this case.
Yes. Is there anything else you would pick that was a non-sci-fi show that you have seen this year? Or is your entire viewing habit all sci-fi and comic book?
Yeah, does comic book count as sci-fi?
No. We're looking for straight drama of some description, I guess.
No.
So nothing. Okay, fine. I mean, out of that list, I think my personal preference is it's very difficult because Dead to Me was a great series and very, very dark. And I'm loving The Morning Show as well. You was a brilliant, brilliant series about a serial killer. And that is wonderfully funny as well as being very, very dark. New Amsterdam is probably the thing that gets my vote just because I've met the cast and they are lovely. And, you know, it's available on Amazon Prime and they're running the first season on E4 as well. So I think just because it's one of the best medical dramas out there, I think I'd probably go for New Amsterdam out of that list. Best returning non-sci-fi drama. Do you know any of these?
I know them.
You haven't watched them. So we have Big Little Lies, Billions, Jack Ryan, Line of Duty, Mindhunter, Orange is the New Black, Peaky Blinders, Poldark, Succession. Again, very, very strong dramas we've had this year. Hard again for me to pick. I wasn't as impressed with Peaky Blinders this year. Succession is a great show. I really enjoyed the second season of Jack Ryan, though, and I think that's probably where my vote goes for that. Any particular preference you're leaning towards?
People have told me I would like Orange is the New Black.
Yes, I think that's probably
the closest
true.
I can get to a concise answer because I haven't seen any of these.
Yes, yes. So best limited series we have next. Now, I know you've seen some of these. So we have Catch-22, which was on Channel 4. We have Catherine the Great from Sky Atlantic, Chernobyl from Sky Atlantic, Escape from Dannemora, Good Omens, Mother, Father, Son, Unbelievable, and World on Fire. I mean, Chernobyl was an immense series, and it's really difficult because I also loved Good Omens, but I think I just, because how incredibly well put together it was, Chernobyl, I think, is the thing that would get my vote. You, out of that list, you've seen Good Omens, haven't you? So
it's the one I've seen on that list, although I have heard amazing things about Chernobyl. But yeah, I've only seen the one on the list. You picked the wrong co-host for this show.
No, I know lots of those categories you probably
it's a running joke with a lot of my friends. It's like, have you seen this show? And before they finish the end of the sentence, I say, does it have a spaceship in?
Yes, I know. World on Fire was supposed to be very good on the BBC as well, but I haven't actually personally seen that. And Catch 22 was amazing on Channel 4 as well. They're all dramas I would go, we need to expand your base of other dramas that don't have spaceships in. I'm sure there are some you would like.
There probably are. It's finding the time to watch that many things. So you tend towards, because there's so many amazing shows that I've been really looking forward to coming out. Mm. And I don't always have time to watch all of those, so I tend to be really, really selective. The next time I get horribly ill with something is when my range of TV shows will expand dramatically.
yes, definitely. Best new comedy series, we have Afterlife, Brassic, Living With Yourself, Russian Doll, Sex Education, This Time With Alan Partridge, Upright, and What We Do In The Shadows. Have you seen any of those? Because some of those are genre, so, you know.
I've been watching Russian Doll.
That, I think, is a fabulous series.
And What We Do In The Shadows, I absolutely loved. I haven't finished watching Russian Doll yet, but definitely really enjoy the premise, really good acting, and very intrigued to see where it's going to go. And What We Do In The Shadows, I love the film. I love everyone that's involved in that series, so that was pretty much a slam dunk for me. It's a nice, fun little series. It's not going to change your world or anything. It's just what you want from that kind of comedy, really.
Yeah, yeah. Out of that list, you should also try Living With Yourself, because that's Paul Rudd, and it's Paul Rudd opposite Paul Rudd in a cloning comedy. So I think that definitely would be one that I would have a look at. Brassic has, what's the guy's name, Joe Gilliam, that plays Cassidy in Preacher as well.
He was great in Preacher.
And that is his series. He wrote that series as well, starring in it. So that is another one that's worth looking up. And Afterlife, which was the Ricky Gervais series, is well worth a watch as well. It's incredibly dark, but well worth watching. So it's tough, that category as well. I really like what We Do In The Shadows. Russian Doll, I think, is probably my pick, though, because it was so odd and off the wall and quirky and just really scratched an interesting itch for me. So that is probably what I would go for out of that list. Returning comedy series, we have Atypical, Barry, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Derry Girls, Fleabag, Grace and Frankie, Silicon Valley, The Good Place, The Orville, and Veep. Have you seen any of those?
There's several on there I would really like to have seen. Like, I haven't seen The Orville, which has got spaceships in it.
Yes.
And I don't think that's on any of the things I have access to.
It's on Fox in the UK, so... And the third season has been delayed because it's moved on to Hulu in the US. So I don't know whether that's going to affect third season airing over here. But first two seasons were on Fox. I don't know where else you can get it. I don't know whether it's gone onto any of the streaming services. But
yeah, yes. I need it to appear on Prime or Netflix for me so I can watch it. Veep, I was pretty interested in checking out as well.
Veep is hilarious.
You talk about The Good Place quite a lot, don't you?
Yes, we do. Me and Matt adore The Good Place. Matt does a weekly podcast on The Good Place, just out of everything, because it is so strange and hilariously funny and brilliantly written. I mean, I love the Orville. The Orville's basically Next Generation with jokes. So, you know, that is fantastic. And I love Silicon Valley as well. But The Good Place is the thing that I really look forward to every week, and the new episodes coming out. I love Atypical as well. I mean, Atypical is a brilliant, brilliant comedy. But The Good Place is certainly the thing that we will always get my vote, I think, out of that list. Now we're on to categories which I think you might have more of an opinion on. We have best new sci-fi fantasy series of 2019. We have Black Summer, Carnival Row, Curfew, For All Mankind, His Dark Materials, Sea, The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, and The Kingdom. Which of those have you seen? Which of those do you want to see?
Now we're getting to the ones where I actually find it harder to choose. I think my heart would tell me to go for Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance.
Yes.
Because you've waited so long to see a return to a world like that. The puppetry, the practical effects, and the interesting mix of practical effects of little touches of CGI and things, where all the close-up shots, the character designs, etc., incredible. And I never thought that series was ever going to happen. So I think that wins. Of the ones I haven't seen, I do really want to see His Dark Materials, the BBC adaptation. I'm really, really interested to see that one. I haven't got around to it quite yet. But that's probably the one that I most want to see of the ones I haven't. How about you?
This is tricky for me as well, because I'm really enjoying C. It's a bit slow to get started. That's the Jason Momoa one that they previewed at MCM in London this year as well. That is really good, interesting. It's from the creator of Peaky Blinders. I really, really enjoy that show. For All Mankind as well, which is the Ronald D. Moore series about a sort of alt history where the Russians beat the Americans to the moon. That's been a brilliant series, and they're both really high quality. I'm still sort of halfway through those because they're releasing those weekly. His Dark Materials, I've been enjoying, but I found it a little bit slow. I know there are a lot of fans out there. I didn't know the books particularly beforehand, and it seems to have gone down fairly well with people that do know the books, which is great. And I'm glad it's there, and I'm glad they're doing the job that they're supposed to be doing for that. Personally, I did find it a little bit slow. I'm a couple of episodes behind from what's been broadcast, and I need to get back to it. I'm kind of edging towards Carnival Row, in all honesty. The more I sit back and think about that series, the more I really liked it, and I'm very glad that they've got a second season for it. I thought the world was really interesting. It's this sort of steampunk-esque world with fairies and monsters in it. I think that's very much your sort of series. I think you'd really enjoy that. And it's worth looking up. That's on Amazon Prime if you want to go and watch that. And that's coming back for a second season as well. So I think probably Carnival Row is the thing I would go for out of that list personally. Best returning sci-fi fantasy series. We have American Gods, American Horror Story, Black Mirror, Sabrina, Star Trek Discovery, The Expanse, Handmaid's Tale, The OA, and Stranger Things. I think I know what you've gone for out of this list, but what would you go for?
It's actually a more difficult choice than you would think with this one. American Gods has its ups and downs, but I'm very glad it's getting made. I love the book. Black Mirror, I feel, has kind of,
lost its way a little bit.
I don't really want to say discouraging words to the people making Black Mirror. However, I felt it was really, really mixed in quality this time around. I felt that the twists were obvious and the pacing was bizarre, and overall it sort of just was a very strange mix of stuff that just didn't quite hit the mark for me. I haven't watched Sabrina. I think I can't quite separate it from Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Melissa Joan Hart. Yes. I think I need to, though. I think it's slightly different. Can't think why.
Yes.
I really, really liked the last series of Discovery, although I wasn't keen on the reveal twist. I shan't say what it was for anyone who hasn't seen it, but I enjoyed the series, but I wasn't entirely keen on how the overarching plot worked out.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
The Expanse, obviously, I adore. Handmaid's Tale, I also really like. And the OA, I was really... Series 2 of the OA, but it really came into its own. Very unusual. Again, really good acting and writing, character development. Unfortunately, ends on a cliffhanger and will be staying cliffhangered.
Yeah.
So that is a shame on that. And Stranger Things, much to the shock, surprise and horror of everyone, I have not seen a single episode of.
Yeah, Stranger Things is something that you do really, really need to watch. Stranger Things is great. And I really enjoyed the third season of that. I love The Handmaid's Tale. I really enjoy Discovery. The second season, I'm kind of with you. I liked where they had it before, and that second season pushes it into a completely different space. And
it felt much more Star Trek in the second season, which, yeah. I think the characters, because I think one of the problems they had in the first season is your main character isn't particularly likable or able to empathize with.
Yeah.
And they really improved and developed her character in that second season, and it felt a lot more Star Trek. But they have a slight problem with sort of leaning into cliche a little bit. So you kind of get to a certain point in the series and go, oh, I think I know what the twist is. But it was still, and I still enjoyed it though. I still enjoyed it overall. And I would still like to see more of Discovery.
So what are you picking out of that list?
See, the OA's been canned obviously after that second season. So that sort of made me feel a bit kind of like, yay, no. So I think because of its consistent awesomeness and will continue to be being awesome, I will go for The Expanse, which I'm assuming is what you thought I would pick.
Yes, that is what I thought you would pick. I think probably The Expanse for me as well, overall, for basically for the same reasons, just the consistency of how good it is to have that sort of epic sci-fi and done so brilliantly well. So yeah, I think I would probably go for The Expanse out of that list. On to best new comic book series. They've been an interesting selection this year. They are very varied, from sort of straight comic books to really off the wall things. So we have Pennyworth, Raising Dion, Swamp Thing, The Boys, The Umbrella Academy, Titans, and Watchmen. Which do you go for out of that list?
That's a varied and strong list, that one. I haven't seen Pennyworth. I really Yes. would like to see it, though. I think, for me, it's going to be down to The Boys or The Umbrella Academy. That's partly because I haven't seen Watchmen yet. I'm saving it and currently don't have any access to it, so have
Right.
to. I'm waiting for Watchmen to come out on something I have. Yeah, it has to be between The Boys and The Umbrella Academy. They're both brilliant in such different ways, though.
Yeah.
That's so difficult. Choosing one or the other. I don't know. I just, maybe because I saw it more recently, The Boys, but it's Right. pretty much 50-50 between those two for me.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you on that. As I said earlier on, that there is one show which has been absolutely phenomenal this year in terms of comic book series. Well, The Watchmen isn't a direct comic book adaptation. It is obviously based on the Watchmen comic book. It's been brilliantly, brilliantly crafted. And I think Watchmen is the thing I would have to vote for out of that list. But if that wasn't in there, I would have the same problem as you between The Boys and The Umbrella Academy, because I loved both those adaptations. I thought they were brilliant. Swamp Thing as well. I was really disappointed that didn't get another season, because I thought Swamp Thing was superbly done and was a really clever adaptation. And it's such a shame that they didn't have the guts to keep going with it. I'm very much 50-50 on sort of would want to split my vote between The Boys and Umbrella Academy. But for me, Watchmen is streets ahead of everything else that's been out this year. So, by the way, in terms of the eligibility for these shows, because you may be wondering why some shows aren't in there, apart from the fact that obviously we can't have every single show on there, so we had to trim the list down to shows which we kind of sat around and decided this was probably the ones that should be in the list. We run it from the 1st of December 2018 to the 30th of November 2019, because obviously the competition runs throughout December, so we can't put shows that are launching in December into the list, because that's not really very fair. So yes, that's why some shows aren't necessarily in there, and you're thinking, oh well, maybe it didn't that come out this year. So best returning comic book series, we've got kind of pretty much the old faithfuls. We've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow, Gotham, which had its final season this year, iZombie, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl, Flash, The Punisher, which was actually this year, which I've forgotten about, and The Walking Dead. Any particular choice out of that?
Well, obviously, I've seen this. We're into the points where I've seen all the things, which is nice. and for me, my favourite series, the series I look forward to the most out of all of those, was iZombie. Zombie.
Right.
That was the one where I was excited to see every next episode. Some of the other ones, Gotham, it's very silly. It's like very high budget trash TV stuff. It's enjoyable, but it's kind of silly, enjoyable fun. And that I binge watched when I was ill, when I couldn't concentrate, and it didn't matter if I noticed if people died and came back to life or changed actor or something, because that kept happening in that series.
Yeah.
So it was perfect watching for that kind of point in my year. But some of the other things like Arrow and Flash and stuff, like less so with Flash, more with things like Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they've gone on for so long now that I feel we're in that bit where they're not quite as good as they were, as some series do, like, because even Supernatural had that dip in the middle where it was kind of like, well, maybe they should have ended the series here, but then they like recovered and made a few more brilliant series afterwards.
Yeah.
So I'm not as fussed to see a lot of the other ones, and The Walking Dead I quite controversially don't like at all, but I'm not massively into zombies or that kind of drama, so that's probably why. Yeah, so I think iZombie, just because I have such a soft spot for it.
Yes, don't like The Walking Dead because zombies, but like iZombie because zombies.
Well, that's not the same thing.
I know.
It's not the thing. The Walking Dead is a standard big drama about human beings where you could kind of change the settings from zombies to post-apocalyptic, post-nuclear explosion or this kind of thing. It's about the drama between the things, and the zombies are effectively a backdrop, as a lot of zombie type things often are at that level. So it just doesn't tick any of the boxes I like, really, whereas iZombie is brilliant and funny, and I loved the way they wrapped the series up. I thought it was excellent.
Yes, yeah. Did come to a great conclusion. Arrow, I have actually been really enjoying this series, and that has been very up and down over the years. I think the fact that they know where they're going and there is an end point and it's a shorter run as well, I think serves Arrow very, very well this season. So I have been enjoying Arrow quite a lot out of that stuff. I thought The Punisher was great, and obviously we've lost all those Netflix Marvel shows now, so that was a sad way for that to go out. I think probably The Walking Dead, purely because of the amount that it's improved over this past season from where it was a couple of seasons ago. I think Walking Dead is the thing that I would pick out of that list. I also still have a huge affection for Legends of Tomorrow because it is so stupid.
It's like Gotham. It's just, it is fun. And it knows it's fun. And as soon as you get to the point with your show where you're like, yeah, like Gotham did about like 2.5 seasons in, they went, oh, we're making a silly show. And then they just ran with it. And from that point on, it was much more enjoyable. And I think Legends knew that from day one. Ah, yeah, we're the silly show. Carry on.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very much like that. We've got Best British TV Show of the Year. So this is a sort of mix of some of the others, really. Brassic, Call the Midwife, Flack, Good Omens, Line of Duty, Peaky Blinders, Poldark Temple, The Capture, World on Fire. I guess Good Omens you're going to go for out of that list.
Yep, being that it is both good and one of the only ones I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would pick Good Omens out of that list. As I say, Peaky Blinders this season I found dragged a little bit in places. That would be the other thing I would naturally gravitate towards. I did think The Capture was fabulous as well, which was the thing about the surveillance state, basically, and that I thought was just brilliant as a drama. I've never really watched Poldark. I haven't seen World on Fire yet. Brassic, I did think, was brilliant as well. And I thought Flack was great, which was the original drama on W with Anna Paquin. But Good Omens, I think, out of everything on that list, is the thing that stands out for me. So that's where I go. Best male performance in a TV show. No Tom Hiddleston for you, unfortunately. So, you're just going to have to deal with that. We have Brian Cox for Succession, Damian Lewis for Billions, Jason Momoa for Sea, Kit Harington for Game of Thrones, Penn Bagley for You, and Steve Carell for The Morning Show was our selection. Any particular person you would want to go for out of that?
Taking that sentence in a literal way, bearing in mind I've not actually seen any of these shows, the person I'd like to go for is Jason Momoa. And that's the best answer I can give at this point in time. I would really like to see though. So
yes,
yeah, that is. And one day I will watch all of Game of Thrones. That's some massive binge watching thing that needs to happen at some point, because I've only seen one episode of it. But yeah, I definitely will watch C at some point. So I'm preemptively going to assume it's Jason Momoa.
I mean, Kit Harington possibly deserves an award for getting through the 8th season of Game of Thrones.
Right. You know,
because the writing in places was terrible on that season, which is why the 8th season hasn't appeared anywhere else in the list. But we didn't think it was fair to punish the actors for the terrible writing. So, yeah, I mean, possibly Kit Harington. I do really like Jason Momoa in C. It's a really interesting performance in that as well. So Penn Badgley for you is just such a creepy performance and darkly funny as well. My gut kind of wants to go for that, I think, out of that list. You, if you haven't seen it, is a show which is on Netflix. It is about a stalker, essentially, who kind of turns into a serial killer, and it's really just darkly funny and just so worth watching. That's back for a second season later this year as well. So yeah, I think I'd probably go for that out of that list. Female performance, we have Emilia Clarke in Game of Thrones, we have Jean Smart for Watchmen, Jodie Comer for Killing Eve, Merritt Weaver for Unbelievable, Olivia Colman for The Crown, and Regina King for Watchmen. Any of these stand out to you?
I don't have any gag responses for this one, I'm afraid. I've not seen any of the series. I will watch Watchmen at some point. That's it. Yeah, I don't know. What should I say for that one?
I go for Olivia Colman, because Olivia Colman wins everything.
In that case, I will go for Olivia Colman, because you say that she wins everything, and that makes it sound like I've possibly seen any of those shows.
Again, Emilia Clarke deserves an award just for getting through that final season. Jean Smart, I love in Watchmen. She's snarky and plays it as though she's completely over all the costume stuff, and is just such a wonderful, wonderful character in that show. I love Regina King in that series as well, but I kind of want to give it to Jean Smart for Watchmen. She was great in Legion as well, but yeah, that's the person I would probably go for. I know the person that I would probably win that is Jodie Comer for Killing Eve, I rather suspect. Yes, we'll that's going to be an interesting category when it comes around. Game of the year. You are obviously a big video gamer. I doubt you've played a lot of the things on this list. So do you have a game of the year out of the stuff that you have played?
There's actually some good ones on the list. I do know the games on the list.
So the list is, well, the list we have: Apex Legends, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Death Stranding, Disco Elysium, Gears 5, Metro Exodus, Planet Zoo, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and The Outer Worlds. So is it one of those lists, or would you go for something else particularly?
A lot of the things I've been playing didn't come out this year. Obviously, I'm very much enjoying things like Valfaris at the moment, but I'm trying to remember when the actual release date of that was, if it's within the... I think that actually, that might have come out this year. I might go with Valfaris if you like sort of like Doom meets Geiger meets shooting, but in a 2D platformer kind of direction. That's good. I've seen a lot of people I know massively enjoying Planet Zoo.
Yes.
And chaos that can cause. That looks to be great fun. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, I really, really want to play. I've watched a couple of people I know streaming that game, and it looks amazing. Of all the kind of modern games that are out, like, it looks like it's a good mix of open world, but also more guided narrative type parts. And it's got lightsabers in it. And yeah, after some recent Star Wars games not always getting the best reception, it looks like this is very much a return to form, and I need to play that at some point quite badly. The other one on the list, I'm a big fan of the old Gears game, so Gears 5 would be a game I would love to play, and I've heard amazing things about Disco Elysium as well. But I think Jedi Fallen Order, just because I so badly want to play it right now, is probably my pick.
Yeah, I mean, actually, out of that list, I kind of have to go for Planet Zoo, just because I have Planet Zoo and I have Jedi Fallen Order, And I'm spending more time playing Planet Zoo than I am Fallen Order at the moment. Not that Fallen Order is a bad game. It's a very, very, very good game. But the draw of building stuff in Planet Zoo has been kind of quite strong. So that's the thing I'm probably going for. But yes, Fallen Order is a great game. The Outer Worlds, which is kind of a light version of Fallout from the original Fallout creators Obsidian, a very enjoyable and then really interesting setup. It's one of those games that whilst I really enjoyed the game, it's a little bit light, and I hope they create Outer Worlds 2 and expand it more. I would like to see a bit more from them. Disco Elysium I haven't played yet, but I'm told is very, very good. So that is also on my list of things. And Death Stranding I know is something that's been very popular as well. But yes, Planet Zoo for me, definitely. And movie of the year. Now, I mean, we have a list for this, which includes The Lion King, Spider-Man Far From Home, Joker, El Camino, Deadwood the movie, Captain Marvel. But I think there's one thing which is going to dominate this, which is Avengers Endgame. That kind of, just because of what it represents, would have to be my pick. What about you?
See, the problem is I haven't seen Far From Home yet.
Yes, it took me ages to get around to seeing it as well. Far From Home is a good movie. It is a good film. But I think Endgame, just because it was so epic, that's a sort of 3-something-hour movie that doesn't feel like a 3-hour movie. To me, you know?
Yeah, it is the culmination of so many years worth of movies, and there's just, you could just see how emotional some of the crowds were getting watching that. It was all of the epic. But I haven't seen Captain Marvel. I haven't seen Deadwood. I haven't seen El Camino. I have seen Joker. I kind of view it slightly separately as a comic book movie.
Yes.
It's quite a loose...
very, very loose, yes.
Origin story, prequel type situation, although very, very well acted. And I haven't seen The Lion King because I'm not convinced it needs to exist.
Yes, that is true, but I think that's fair.
So by a process of elimination and having not seen Far From Home, I will have to choose Endgame as well, I think.
Yeah, I think Endgame is probably going to end up being one of the most popular ones on there. But well, that's going to be an interesting one because Joker had a big fan base as well. So we'll see how that turns out with the votes. So we've got a few categories left, which is the most anticipated series of next year. So we have Avenue 5, which is the new comedy from Armando Iannucci. It's set 40 years in the future. It stars Hugh Laurie as Ryan Clark, an American captain of the Avenue 5, which is a space tourism vessel. There is a trailer for this up on the website. You already said that you wanted to watch Veep. It's Armando Iannucci doing space. So... yeah, that's one. We've got Doom Patrol, which finally lands in the UK next year on Stars Play, which obviously follows the superhero group who all suffered horrible accidents, giving them superhuman abilities, but left them scarred and disfigured. We've got Star Trek Picard, which is the turn of Patrick Stewart as Jean-Luc Picard. That's coming to Amazon Prime. Falcon and Winter Soldier, which is the MCU TV series coming to Disney Plus. We've got The Mandalorian, which technically hasn't aired over here yet legally, so we've got that coming to Disney Plus next year as well. There is The Nevers, which is a sci-fi drama from Joss Whedon, which follows a gang of Victorian women who find themselves with unusual abilities, relentless enemies, and a mission that might change the world. That's coming to Sky Atlantic next year. And The Witcher, which stars Henry Cavill as Geralt of Rivia, and that's coming to Netflix later this month. There's an interesting selection for you there. I'd have no clue which one you're going to go for out of this list.
Well, assuming I can't choose everything.
Yes.
I think it would be Star Trek Picard.
Really?
Yeah. I think so. Because I never thought that we would see Patrick Stewart return to that role. And he's an absolutely incredible actor and a funny and wonderful human being. If his Twitter account is anything to go by, he's just brilliant.
Yes.
And the others are all good. I want to see all of these things without a doubt. But I think that's the one that when the trailer dropped, I had the most kind of like, oh my God, is this happening? I cannot wait for this kind of reaction. I think was actually yeah, Star Trek Picard.
Yeah, I mean, I, again, want to see all of these things. I'm very intrigued about the Nevers, but we haven't seen any footage of that, so it's difficult to judge. The Mandalorian obviously looks like a fabulous series, and I want to see that. Star Trek Picard, though, yeah, that is the thing that's kind of tantalizingly close, because that launches in January, I think. So, that's the thing that I'm probably focused on right now. That's the thing I'm kind of looking forward to most. But yes, I'd like you want to see everything. The Witcher has also looked great from the little clips that we saw at FCM as well. Most anticipated game of 2020. There's an interesting selection of stuff. We've got Beyond Good and Evil 2, Cyberpunk 77, Halo Infinite, Marvel's Avengers, Psychonauts 2, System Shock, Last of Us Part 2, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, Watch Dogs Legion. I know what you're going to go for with this, I think.
Well, I may be slightly predictable on this front. I'm not even going to pretend I'm not. It's going to be Cyberpunk. I've waited so long for that game.
Yeah.
I was watching trailers of that when they first dropped. I don't know. It feels like 20 years ago. We've waited so long for it, and it looks amazing. And yeah, that kind of overshadows everything else for me by quite a margin.
Yes. So Cyberpunk 77, I do very, very much want to play. But Vampire the Masquerade, well, it was when it was launched, was such a broken game, and then it was patched and it was so wonderfully done. I really love that game. And I also have a huge soft spot for Psychonauts as well, and Beyond Good and Evil. So there's some really interesting things. And Last of Us was great as well. Just so I'm not going for the same thing as you, whilst I it is possibly Cyberpunk, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, I think, is probably the thing I'm going to go for out of that list, just because I love the first game so much. But yes, I am very much looking forward to playing Cyberpunk. And most anticipated movie, we've got Artemis Fowl, Bill and Ted Face the Music, Birds of Prey, Black Widow, Dune, Ghostbusters 2020, The Eternals, Top Gun Maverick, Uncharted, and Wonder Woman 1984. What do you go for?
I don't know. That's a difficult one, because there's various things that I look at them and I'm like, I want you to be good.
Yes.
You know, I want Bill and Ted to be good. I want Birds of Prey to be good. I want Black Widow to be good. I want Dune to be good. I want Ghostbusters to be good. Not as fussed about the others, but I don't know if they are going to be good. I was quite sad that Birds of Prey became Birds of Prey when it was originally rumored to have been a Gotham City Sirens movie, which would have been my preference by quite a long shot. So I think possibly, and partly because it isn't one that's nostalgia based like with Bill and Ted and Ghostbusters, I might go for Dune.
Okay, cool. Yes, as I mentioned to you on your stream last night, that has a movie coming and has a TV series, which is connected to it as well, coming. Dune the Sisterhood is the TV series. We've got both of those coming. I'm intrigued to see that.
Yes, difficult thing to do right is Dune. The books are, it's all very interesting. But the books kind of are quite mixed and quite slow and patchy and I'll probably get shot for saying this. I really like the world and the ideas of Dune, but it's something that can be a bit of a weird slog in places, but it is also very kind of defining and important. And I would love to see a TV and movie of that done right, and the fact they're doing it all interconnected, because it's such a huge series, there's so much going on. That gives them the breadth and pace to do a lot more with it, I think, than anyone's had the chance to before.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the nostalgia and just go for Bill and Ted Face the Music.
All right, that's much simpler. Should have done that.
I'm quite intrigued to see what the Uncharted movie is like as well. But it's interesting because The Eternals is the Marvel movie, and usually the next Marvel movie would, I mean, Black Widow is Marvel as well. They would be like the things that really leap out at you, but this phase of the Marvel films doesn't seem to have caught the imagination the same way that the previous ones did. So I'm going to be really intrigued to see how they go down. I'm also quite interested to see what they do with Ghostbusters this time around as well. But I'm going for Bill and Ted, I think, out of that. And we have one final question, because it's sort of the end of a decade, and I thought this would be a nice sort of general thing. We had an open box at the end of the quiz, which says, what is your favourite TV show of all time? So what is your favourite TV show of all time?
That's a horrible question. How could you possibly do that to anyone, let alone everyone that goes to your website?
Hmm.
I didn't spot that question at the end there and have not prepared an answer. I don't know.
I'll give you a countdown.
There's some kind of horrible fail noise at the end and then I'm fired for not coming up with an answer. I don't know, because like, do you go for like all time? It kind of includes nostalgia and things that sort of slightly in the back of your brain you knew if you watch now would be absolutely terrible, as well as things that you've watched more recently that are incredibly well put together. Do you look at things in terms of the series you watched for the longest? Because then things I know aren't very good, but I watched them every week for years and years and years and years would be on my possible list, including things like Charmed, which I became very attached to as a series, and made me very happy for all its silly ridiculousness. I don't know. Goodness, I think that definitely somewhere on the list, fairly high up the list, would be things like Red Dwarf and Blackadder and Star Trek, like Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, because I can endlessly rewatch those quite happily.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's not one answer at all. But
no, but I think rewatchable value is certainly something which I think classes it as a favourite TV show. Yes, Red Dwarf, I think, would definitely be up there for me. The show which always springs to mind whenever I'm asked that question is Firefly, because I could watch that endlessly. I know there's not that many episodes of it, but I love that series. So Firefly for me, I think.
Yeah, I still haven't watched all of it.
Terrible.
I know. I think I get disowned and unfollowed on social media a lot when people figure that out. I think Star Trek series and things, you can just keep watching them.
Yes, that is true. Deep Space Nine, repeatedly. Yeah. Yes.
Deep Space Nine is my favourite Star Trek. Next Generation is probably my second favourite Star Trek. And my favourite character is possibly Q.
Yes. Okay, fair enough.
So the episodes of him in.
Yeah.
I can watch those on repeat pretty much because he is genius. I wish they could reinstate that character somehow. If he can turn up in Picard, that would be perfect for me. He's like the evil genie type character.
Yeah, that would be great. I can imagine that would just throw a huge spanner in the works for a series like Picard, but we'll see. We'll see. That would be interesting. So that is the awards. You can go online and vote now. You go to geektown.co.uk/awards. You can win the huge prizes that we listed earlier on. Go onto the website now, go and get voting, geektown.co.uk/awards. And as we've been chatting so long, I think we'll just jump straight on to some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week on TV. We have Vikings Season 6, which returns for its final season on Amazon Prime. That's on the 5th of December. V-Wars, which is the new Ian Somerhalder series where he's back battling vampires rather than being a vampire this time. But that's coming to Netflix on the 5th of December as well. Madam Secretary, the 6th and final season, that comes to Sky Witness on the 5th of December at 10 p.m, where I don't think she's the secretary anymore. I think she's president. Sorry if that's a spoiler, but yes. And then on the 6th of December, we have the absolutely fabulous, marvelous Mrs. Maisel. That is back for its third season. That's a fabulous comedy, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing the third season of that. Over on Apple TV Plus, Truth Be Told, which is an adaptation of the true crime novel Are You Sleeping, stars Octavia Spencer and Lizzie Kaplan. We've got Fuller House, which returns for the first half of the fifth season. That is on the 6th of December to Netflix. Got Traces, that's an original series by Alibi, that's coming to the Alibi channel on the 9th of December at 9 p.m, which is a crime drama set at the Scottish Institute of Forensic Science. New Amsterdam, the brilliant New Amsterdam, returns for the first half of its second season. That's on Amazon Prime on the 9th of December. Very much enjoying watching that. First season was brilliant and it ended in an interesting cliffhanger, so that's coming to Amazon Prime on the 9th of December for that. And Laura and Order Special Victims Unit, that finally returns to the UK on the 10th of December on Sky Witness. It's I'm not sure whether that's one of the moved. Yes, moved from Universal, that one. So that's the 21st season, which is a historic season because it makes it the longest running crime drama, I think, in the US. That's coming to Sky Witness 10th of December at 10 p.m. for Law and Order Special Victims Unit. And that's everything for this week, unless you've got anything else you want to mention.
No, I think that's quite enough. We've yes. covered everything.
If people want to find you, where can they find you?
I can be found using the name Trista Bytes, spelled B-Y-T-E-S, because I thought I'd make a geeky pun in my name and make it difficult to spell. And yeah, I can be found over on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yes, so go and check her out. You stream on Twitch on Sundays and Monday nights, don't you?
I do, yes. And YouTube videos go up on Saturdays, and then I spend the rest of the week retweeting and Instagramming geeky nonsense.
Yes, definitely. Go and check out her Twitch feed. It's very funny, and you can interact with her on real time as well. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see the latest air date information. You can also, of course, enter the Geektown Awards. That's geektown.co.uk/awards if you want to go and do that. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you with a more normal show next week.
Bye.